Why? Because God made provision for it. Thank you, Jesus. He wants you to have it. Glory to God. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be victorious. And you are if you put your trust in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to Matthew 22 real quickly because the time is far spent. Thank you, Jesus. We give honor to all that honor is due. We thank God for being saved today and on the Lord's side. Amen. We give great love to all of you, our church family. Amen. And while you're getting Matthew 22, just let me say, I saw something this week that we need to be aware of. The new police chief, for those of us who live in the city, the new police chief has broken things up into three quadrants, if you will, the north, the southeast, and the southwest. Go on Syracuse.com and see what makes up those three places. But there is a captain assigned to each one, and he's got on Syracuse.com the captain's phone number and email address. The officers don't really like what's going on because they're being asked to be more accountable. So, which is good for us. Amen. Amen. It's good for us. It's good for us. You know, sometimes when you have somebody that comes from the outside in that doesn't have these relationships with everybody, it's easier for that person to put things into place. I love Frank Fowler. He's a good guy. I know Frank, but, you know, he was trying to lead the same people that he was fighting with over the years, so it's a little harder to get them to do what you want to do when you've been. But anyway, this guy's calling for more accountability from the force, and again, that should be good for us. But anyways, check on Syracuse.com if you live in the city and find out who is the captain in that area, just so you know. Amen? Matthew 22, amen. Like most of you, I was taught when I was young, if I wanted to learn something about something else, I need to ask questions. Amen? Amen. And one of the questions that we may have asked ourselves over the years is, what in the world does God want from me? Amen? Have you ever asked God, what in the world does God want from me? Amen? So we look at Matthew 22, and, Brother Fred was hitting on some of this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but how many know that Jesus had some adversaries? Amen? Jesus had some people that didn't like what he was talking about. Amen? Jesus had groups of people that wasn't really on board with what he was putting forth. Amen? People like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, amen. They weren't particularly on Jesus' side, amen. And one of the things that people do when they want to try to discourage you or get you off your path is to ask you a hard question, amen. That's why I always say, be careful or be wise when you're debating what you believe with other people. Amen? Because not everybody's motives are the same. Not everybody's motives are right. Amen? If you're talking with someone and we're debating about the Word of God in a way to where, you know, I really want to learn more. Does it really say this? I want to challenge because I want to know for myself, is this the right way? And then there's other people that ask you questions just to trick you up. Amen? They want to ask you because they don't believe what you believe, so they want to ask you, they want to take a part of the Bible, and they want to ask you a question that they know is going to be kind of tricky, and they're going to base what you say and try to mess you up with it. Amen? Those are the kind of people, you don't need to debate with those kind of people. Amen? Because their motive is not to build up, it's to tear down. Amen? And if our motive is not to build up, then we don't need to be dealing with that kind of situation. But in Matthew 22, if you go to the 35th verse, again, what in the world does God want from me? Well, let me first tell you that the first thing he says to anyone who comes to him is first to do what? Believe on me. Amen? If you come to believe in God, not just in your head, but in your heart, and place your faith in him, the very next thing he wants is your love. Amen? Believe on me and love me. Now, you obviously are not going to love God until you believe in him, but this world is filled with people who believe in God but don't love him. God wants from us our faith and our faith and our love. I know that because Jesus, the Son of God himself, tells us that. In 22, the 35th verse, it says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, no offense, Brian, but a lawyer, was trying to trick him up here. A lawyer asked him a question, what? Tempting him and saying, Master, which of these great commandments, which of these are the greatest commandment in the law? Now, he asked them that question because he's challenging Jesus. Which one are you going to pick? Aren't they all important? So he's trying to get Jesus to pick one, and then once he picks one, they're going to say, well, what about this one? Is that more important than this? Is that more? So they're trying to trick him up. Amen? But see, they didn't know who they were messing with. Yeah, he had some groups that weren't happy with him, that were enemies of him, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians. And one of the things they were always trying to do was to trap Jesus by asking him certain questions, but they were getting increasingly frustrated because while they were testing him, he was getting the better of them. Jesus had an answer, and it wasn't just the right answer, it was a perfect answer that shut down all debate. Amen? Amen? Here they think they got him because he's going to have to choose one now. Which one is the greatest, Jesus? Make a choice, because whatever you choose, we're going to debate you on that. Watch this. Amen. Check out what Jesus says. Amen. Jesus had just shut the Sadducees down with their question, and now the Pharisees tag-teamed him and asked them their question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? On the surface, it looks like a great question because it helps us to even answer the question, what in the world does God want from me? Amen? What is the number one commandment God wants us to obey? Remember what Fred said last week about the obey part of living this life. Amen? If you don't know, listen back to the tape. What you need to understand was it's a really loaded question, and here's why. The Pharisees had counted up 613 separate laws in what was known as the law, 5 books of the Old Testament. Furthermore, they had divided those 613 laws into affirmative and negative laws. There were 247 affirmative laws, one for every part of the human body as they knew it, and 365 negative laws, one for every day of the year. They also divided the laws into heavy laws and light laws. Heavy laws were like felonies. If you broke them, you know, you were in a lot of trouble. And light laws were like misdemeanors. They would worry incessantly over which should be light and which should be heavy. And they spent a lot of time trying to rank the various laws. But the rabbis also insisted that all of the commandments were equally great, because since it is God that commands them and he is great, they must all be great. So they think they have Jesus trapped for sure, because no matter which law he chooses, he would then be saying all the other laws are just not that important. The other laws are just not that great. And that would upset many of his followers, and it would begin the end of his ministry, which was their motive. Amen? I was reading about a pastor one time who was preaching to his congregations about all the things that money can't buy. He was telling them, you know, money can't buy happiness. Money can't buy love. Then he tried to drive home his point when he said, which one of you, if I offered you $1 million not to love your mother and your father, would do it? And a hush fell over the church. Everyone got quiet. And one little boy on the second row said, Pastor, I'll quit loving my sister all for nothing. In response, Jesus gave perhaps the most brilliant answer he had ever given to any question, which tells us exactly what God wants from us. Amen? I am sure the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the entire crowd was stunned when Jesus, when asked the question, he immediately answered the question. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to phone a friend. He didn't have to pray about it. He didn't have to struggle with it. Immediately, Jesus says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Now, what you going to do with that? Amen? What you going to do with that? Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. What may surprise you is that the New Testament is full of references of God's love for us, but there are very few references about our love for God. That is only natural, because the only reason we love God at all is because he first loved us. He loves us far more than we could ever love him. Jesus, in this one verse, tells us exactly how we should love God. He tells us the kind of love that God deserves, that we should have a personal love for God. Notice that he didn't just say, love God. He said, love what? Your God. Amen? That makes it personal. Don't just love God, but love the Lord, your God. You see, that strikes a nerve with me because I've testified so many times. I grew up in the Catholic Church. Amen? And the Catholic Church did a great job of instilling in me that, you know, that God was real and that God, you know, I knew there was a God. But it wasn't until I actually heard the Bible preached in a holiness church to where I actually was enlightened to the fact that not only is there a God, but I can have a personal relationship with this God. Do you know how that is so important? You don't understand how important it is. I mean, unless you grew up Catholic, you don't really get it. Listen, every time I messed up, Fred, I had to go into a box with somebody else on the other side. And I had to tell that whoever, the priest on the other side, all the things that I wanted to share with. I left a lot of stuff out, I'll tell you right now. Don't we all do that? Any Catholics in the house? Huh? You tell them what you want to tell them, right? I'll give you a little bit, but I ain't going to give it all to you. Amen? Yeah, I lied this week. They gave me back too much in change, and I kept it instead of telling it. You know, that's good enough, right? I ain't going to tell you all the other stuff I did, right? But if you don't, and again, this is nothing against the Catholic Church. I love the Catholic Church. It was my foundation when I was younger. But to know that you could have a person, that I don't have to go in the box anymore, that I can actually, when I'm in trouble, when I mess up, when I fall short, when I sin, I can say, God, please forgive me right then and there. Yes. Amen? Right then and there. And through what I've learned, even since being here at Greater Loving Christ Church, is that he can't wait to give me the grace that I need. He's just waiting to give it to me.
I don't have to jump higher for it. I don't have to run faster for it. I don't have to do better for it. He's waiting. It's right there. Here it is. Right when I need it every time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So he wants a personal relationship with God. This has got to be, look at somebody and say, it's got to be personal. Amen. It's got to be personal. Because when something happens to you and you can't call me on the phone, you can't get a hold of your sister, you can't get a hold of your mother, what you gonna do? It's got to be personal. You got to be able to go to God. You got to be able to go to God for yourself. Pray for yourself. Encourage yourself. David, when he was on the run from the troops, the people that he was serving turned against him and wanted to kill him. He had everybody going after him. He got to his nadir experience, and what did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. It's got to be personal. Love the Lord your God. Amen. I can't love him for you. I can't love him for you. You can't love him for me. The Lord, he's talking about, first of all, he is the Lord. He's talking about the Lord we find in the Old Testament. Remember, this is a personal God with a personal name, who has a personal address, who wants a personal relationship with a world that he personally created. Is that all right? This is a God who loved us before we even believed in him or even knew him. He does not just want to be God. He wants to be your God. We are not called to love some man upstairs or some higher power who is distant and removed and indifferent to what is going on in our life. This is God, who is the God, who is the one God, who is the only God, and he wants to be your God. He wants you to love him as the only God there is, and he desires to love you as if there was no one else in the world. Thank you, Jesus. This is what makes what we believe so different and so unique. Christianity is not a religion with an impersonal God. It is a personal relationship with a personal God that wants to be personally involved in your life. Amen? That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's a personal relationship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. The reason why Jesus Christ died on a cross and came back from the dead was so that you and I could put that possessive pronoun in front of God's name, your God. Amen? My God. He's not just a God. He is the God. He is your God, my God. We must have that personal relationship. We must also love God passionately. The only love that God wants and God deserves is an all or nothing love. You know, Jesus don't like lukewarm stuff. Amen? He does not like sometimey stuff. He doesn't like, listen. Jesus simply said, it's either hot or cold. All right? You're either with me or you're against me. Amen? I don't need you. You know, all of us have been there, right? The people that are there when things are going well, and then you can't find them when things are not. You don't need people like that. Amen? Pray for them, love them, but you don't need to, be caught up with that. I need somebody who's going to be with me when things are good. It's going to be with me when things are bad. They're going to be with me when I'm ugly. They're going to be with me when I'm pretty. They're going to be with me when I got money. They're going to be with me when I got nothing. Those are the kind of people I need. Amen? Hot or cold? The Bible says lukewarm, he spits you out. I ain't got time for no part-time lovers. Amen? I ain't got time for that. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Love the Lord your God. How? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Thank you, Jesus. He don't want you to be, he doesn't want like the emotions. He doesn't want just the best of your love. He wants all your love. Amen?
Some of y'all caught that. You don't know about the emotions.
He doesn't want to be like Stevie Wonder. He doesn't want no part-time lover. Amen? God wants all your love. It doesn't take much of a person to be a believer, but it takes all of a person that there is. We got to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Now, that simply means we are to love God with every single fiber of our being, with every part of us. That is, you know, that's how we should love God. Our heart is separate from our soul, and our soul is separate from our mind. But when it comes to loving God, they are all synced together. They are one, just like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The heart of the matter of loving God is loving God with all your heart. Because whatever captures your heart will capture the soul, and whatever captures the soul will capture the mind. The heart is in the driver's seat of who we are. When the heart loves out, the mind reasons out, and the emotions feel out, and the will acts out. We're always preaching to your heart. Because if you can heart it, not just hear it, but if you can heart it, then you can change. Then you can adapt it. Then you can apply it. Then you can do what God wants you to do with it. Amen? If you can heart it. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let me cut through here. He wants you to love. He wants it to be a personal love, a passionate love. He wants to be preeminent in your love. Jesus answers the question unequivocally. This is the first and greatest commandment. This is the Mount Everest of it all. The commandments in the Bible, doesn't matter if you obey every other command in the Bible. If you don't obey this one, until you get to the point where you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, nothing else matters. Thank you, Jesus. You notice he didn't tell you that you had to be perfect. He didn't tell you that you had to, we say it all the time, the law is great. There's nothing wrong with the law. We all need the law. The problem is we're not great. Amen? The problem is we can't live up to it. So if you're going to base my salvation on not living up to the law, I'm in big trouble. That's why I need grace. That's why I need mercy. That's why I need Jesus. That's why he died for me. And then he rose again. That's why he did it, because we needed a more excellent sacrifice. Amen? Jesus did that for us because we can't do it for ourselves. It doesn't cost you anything. And he turned around. If you go a little farther, he says, love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And then he says, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen? How do you think the Pharisees felt about that one? Huh? He's telling them, not only do you need to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, but love your neighbor as yourself. Huh? How am I going to talk about I love God and I don't love you? That don't make no sense. Huh? I love God. God is he's my Savior. He's this, he's that. And then I look at you funny and say, you're nothing. How can I do that? You're God's child just like I am. How can I do that? How can I say, I love God and I don't love you? Like the brother said when he was up here today, it's all about love. Right? You want things to get better? Love. Show love. Amen? Exude love. Thank you, Jesus. How do we get better? Because God loves us. He loves us enough to challenge us. He loves us enough to convict us. He loves us enough to show us how we can better grow in grace day in and day out. He loves us just that much. And he loves us so much that as much as we mess up, as much as we fall apart, as much as we fall down, he doesn't give up on us. He says, come on, get up, let's go, let's learn a little more. Let's grow a little more. Let's go a little farther. Because you know what? One thing we got to understand about this thing is James, the first chapter, the second verse, my brethren, count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. How many go through struggles? How many have been going through struggles? Amen. When you start looking at those struggles differently, you'll be blessed. Have you ever wondered how he can say, in all things, give thanks? Is it in the Bible? In all things, give thanks. Really? When I'm done wrong, I got to give thanks? When the doctor tells me a bad report, I got to give thanks? When in all things, give thanks. Well, he didn't say for all things, did he? In other words, no, I'm not thankful I got that report. I'm not thankful that this one did me wrong. But in it, I can be thankful. You know why? Because when I have a challenge in my life, when I have difficulty in my life, who do I go to? God. Because why? Because I got a relationship, a personal relationship with that God. And in it, in through this difficulty, it makes me lean on him all the more. And guess what? God loves when you lean on him all the more. He loves that. He wants you to put all of your dependence on him. He wants you to get to a point where it's not what you can figure out anymore. It's not what you can understand. It's not what you can make sense of. Just, God, I'm in your hands. You ever been through something with somebody? You ever gone through something with somebody, a tough time with somebody? And down the road, you got a relationship like that with that person because, listen, we went through some stuff together. Amen? I got a history. We went through some stuff together. So we have a bond like no other because we went through a tough time together. We went through and we made it out. We helped each other get out. You got a bond with that person. Guess what? Every single difficulty that we encounter, every single challenge that we encounter, every time that we put more dependence on God, that we call on that personal relationship that we have in God, our relationship with him gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And guess what? You get stronger too. Amen? How many things you've been through in your life when you were going through them, you didn't know any way out. You didn't know if you could make it. You didn't know how you were going to do it, but you look back on it now and you say, thank God he brought me through. And I'm stronger for it. I'm wiser for it. Amen? So when you start looking at difficulties as an opportunity to watch God, because the question comes back to you, if God be for you, who can be against you? Who? Is there anything too hard for God? Whose report will you believe? Will you believe the report of the enemy who's constantly telling you lies, has never told you the truth? Look back over the time and find out, has he ever told you the truth? No. Or are you going to believe the one that keeps on doing great things? Every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me in spite of me. Thank you, Jesus. To God be the glory. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That personal relationship, the Lord your God. Amen. The more our dependence is on him, the more he blesses us, teaches us, shows us, and helps us walk a little farther down that race that he has provided for us personally. I got my own race to run. I can't run yours, you can't run mine. And in order for me to run it, I gotta trust in my personal relationship with my God. My God. My God who loved me so much that he died for me and 3 days later rose up with all power in his hand that said, we have the victory. Victory is mine. Amen. Get thee behind me saying, victory is mine. Look at somebody and say, I got it. In Jesus. Let us stand. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your mind. See, sometimes some of us struggle because we haven't done it all yet. We haven't given it all. We're still trying to hold on to some stuff for ourselves. Amen? You know, in this life, you will suffer tribulation. The Bible says, man is but a few days and full of trouble. In this life, you shall suffer tribulation. That just comes with the territory. But many times, it's the tribulation, it's the problems, it's the situations that we bring upon ourselves that make it harder than it has to be. Amen? Amen. But thank God we have a God that is eager to show us grace. That is not only willing, he's eager to do it. He can't wait to give you grace. He can't wait to pick you up, dust you off, and encourage you to keep running so that you can encourage somebody else. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Today, if you're in this building, and you're struggling, you're hurting in your heart, I encourage you to call on your relationship with your God, to tell him all about it, to leave it in his hands. The Bible instructs us to cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for us. He continuously cares for us. He knows your hurt. He knows your trouble. He knows you from the inside out. If you're discouraged today, if you're down today, if you're troubled today, if you're hurting today, look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. The Lord your God. He loves you like you're the only person in the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.